Welcome to another episode of the FlameFlash.net podcast. I'm Flame Flash, and this is episode 69. Ooh. Or at least, to quote Red Flare, that's what happened. But we'll get started with the Raptor report right off the bat. I'm at a different angle, so I can't see if she's shaking her head in shame. Oh, just a grin. Okay. New Super Mario Bros. 2. Played a little bit more of this one. Still doing my usual, like I did with Super Mario Land, and trying to get all the coins of each level first as I go. It means I haven't progressed very far. It means my coin count isn't very high, but I'm having fun. It's your classic side-scroller Mario. It's more satisfying than the Super Mario Land 3D, actually, in my opinion. Next up, Awesome Knots. I actually played this one this time. Sometimes it shows up on the Raptor Report anyway, because of the kids. But tried out the two new characters, finally, that were released a little while ago in a free update. The gal on the surfboard, kind of Silver Surfer-esque. No, not for me. Not at all for me. Very short-range forward blast. She kind of looks like Ken or Ryu doing a Haruken. And then she has a fire trail that she can do, or a long-distance bomb. Kind of difficult to gauge when it's going to go off, too. Is it going to go off right in front of you, or is it going to go off over here? Difficult to control, therefore. The other guy, who is the immovable turret, a bit more useful. He's kind of like a Clank that sits and shoots. But unlike Clank, he doesn't have a health regen ability. Clank has that big chomp, if you're familiar with Awesome Knots. And he doesn't have anything like that. He needs something like that. Because otherwise, everybody's going to gang up on him, and boom, you're dead. It's kind of pointless going into turret mode when everybody just starts hacking at you and you can't shoot at everybody effectively at the same time. So I'll probably go back to the guy, the healing guy with the orbs around him, or the monkey. Kind of depends. You don't know Jack. That's right. You don't know Jack. The Facebook game's out there, but I still prefer the disc-based 10 questions, so you get round 1, 2, and 3. It's superior, in my opinion, to the Facebook game, by leaps and bounds. Find this game, buy it, buy the question packs. That will hopefully send Jelly Games the right signal that, hey guys, there are people out here that like this game, that want more of this game. If they have the recording studio already set up for recording the Facebook game questions, why aren't we getting these Facebook game questions in the disc-based format? Just put them into more downloadable stuff, downloadable packs. How much money does it honestly cost you to make them available in that format? I'd like to know. Honest question. Magic the Gathering. Went to my first Friday Night Magic tournament, and it went pretty well. I believe I went 1-3, so that means I got my butt handed to me three of the four rounds. It was the best 2 out of 3. Two were a completely clean sweep. No, only one was a clean sweep. The other two games was 2-1. So, really could have gone either way, but not really, because most of the time I was getting hosed with either too many creatures or too much mana. One or the other. Entertaining, nevertheless, and I walked away with a pity pack. Booster pack. So, all in all, you're buying a booster pack and paying a $3 entry fee. not too shabby. $7 total. Dungeon Defender shows up on the Raptor Report because Steam tracking can't easily be turned off. That is a beef I have with Raptor, but nevertheless, it's there. I did cheer the son on as he went online and did some games over the weekend and at other points in the week. So it's not like I wasn't there watching lightly. So I will mention Dungeon Defenders here. But I'm going to move on to World of Warcraft. Last week, 5.0.4 had just launched. This week, over the course of this week, I was able to finally rework and retool all my characters. All 10 characters, all 10 classes, now have bars that make sense with the Cataclysm Mouse and with the Nostro. Now, old habits die hard. For as a healer, I'm still having a lot of trouble with the idea of clicking and then tapping a mouse button to activate a heal, or clicking and tapping a hot button key on the Nostro. So my druid healer, I'm just staying the way I am. There's no point in trying to reshape and fix something that isn't broken. However, my shaman, my future monk, my priest, I've redone the bars, but I'm not an old school healer in any of these classes. I have them, but I've been elemental leveling for shaman. I have the resto spec, but I haven't done much with it. Absolutely perfect opportunity then to use the mouse, to use the Nostro, and really roll it out and see what I can do. Haven't done it yet, waiting for mists, but we'll just wait and see. Warlockery, well, I'm a noob. I am now a noob. My warlock has always been my second main, and I'm going to need to relearn quite a bit with my warlock. It just feels that way. Awesome rotation. I love affliction again. It's really cool how, for instance, you can fling the green fireball to refresh your dots a little bit. But it also means I need a bigger dot timer so I can keep track of those dots easier on my main target. It's one of those add-ons I'm just going to have to find at some point and download. Because I like my dots, but itty-bitty squares on the screen. Tiny countdowns. Now, one thing I absolutely love is that come level 90, one of the passive abilities is if I dot clip. Dot clipping is when you recast your dot before the other one's done, which you kind of need to do just to make sure the dots are up the whole time. But if you dot clip at 90, as of right now, you will be able to honestly clip. And if you have 3 seconds left on corruption and you recast corruption, you now have 25 seconds of corruption. So, assuming that's how long corruption is, I'm drawing a blank on the true length, but I think it's 22. But going with that as the example, you take the 3, you add the 22 on the end, and suddenly you're not honestly clipping anymore. You're just adding another 22 seconds. Now, it does have it set up so you can only add up to half of the normal duration, which is smart. Otherwise, somebody could just cast corruption, say, 3 times, you run up to a minute, and then you move on to your next dot. Cast it 3 times, run it up to a minute, and keep doing that and then start casting some kind of filler like Shadow Bolt, which actually I don't think I put on my bar at all for Affliction. Interesting. Affliction gets a new channeled Malphite Grasp. I can't pronounce it. So that's why I'm using that instead. We're going to segue straight into the show notes because it will start off with World of Warcraft. I'm loving it. I'm loving the new patch. I'm getting nice and close to my reputation goals. And I went ahead and bought the heirloom items that my monk, my rest, my Mistweaver monk will be using. Come mists, which is awesome. So, we're getting a bandwidth low warning, so we'll see if things stick with us. That's odd. Warbot showed up as of 5.0.4. Warbot is the little Mountain Dew pet that we got back in 2009, I think it was. Cool. Now it's available for everybody. I'm a little bitter about that because special event, that kind of thing. However, now more people get it, and I can buy more fuel. I hoarded that fuel, so I still had quite a bit of it. Now I can actually buy more when I use it up, and I can actually use it a little less sparingly. I appreciate that. Final WoW piece. No more reagents. This thrilled me. When I logged into my mage, and all my reagents were gray. Awesome. No more runes of teleportation, no more runes of portals. I can just go. I love it. Posted a piece. Well, hopefully we're back. Welcome back to FlameFlash.net podcast, episode 69. Part two, I suppose. We're not going to do the whole merge thing this time around. We'll just leave the two as separate YouTube uploads. However, the podcast in iTunes form, you'll be able to catch the whole thing put nicely and neatly together. Characters past, Noriko. I lost that whole spiel on Noriko. Oh well. She's coming to PlayStation Battles All Stars Battle Royale. She's a clone, basically, of Kratos. And so, clone, if you're not quite sure on fighting games, Ken and Ryu of Street Fighter II fame, fighter clones. Mario and Luigi from Smash Brothers, fighting clones. Similar move lists, similar abilities, just different skins for the most part. But it's awesome to see Heavenly Sword, one of the launch titles from the PlayStation 3, show up here. I have a fun little gaming with the wife story on FlameFlash.net that I invite everybody to go and check out because she shoots Shen in the shins before Skyrim made it cool. Characters past, Double Dragon, also coming to the PlayStation Network and the Xbox, but PlayStation Network gets it free if you're PlayStation Plus. So, of course, I'm going to be going PlayStation Plus. I think this is going to be one of those rare cases where you get what you pay for actually ends up being something really, really awesome from just the trailer that I have up on flameflesh.net. I'm really looking forward to it. Finally exposing the kids to one of the classics that I haven't been able to yet because Xbox dropped the ball and lost the license, or whoever originally posted it lost the license. I think there's a wiki out there explaining how that all went down. But the fact of the matter is, there is not currently, until now, a Double Dragon, and now there will be available to play on the current consoles. Final Fantasy XIII 3 has been announced. This is going to be the final game in the now trilogy of Final Fantasy XIII games. They're milking it for all it's worth. I love this particular Final Fantasy. I don't understand why it's gotten so much critical hate, but I'll probably be picking it up once it hits the bargain sale prices, just like I did Final Fantasy XIII 2. And I desperately need to go back and actually play through this series all the way. I want to have the time to, I just don't have the time to. But here's something I might have the time to do eventually. God of War Collection now has a free patch to go remote play on the Vita. So, remote play, if you're not familiar, is you have your PlayStation 3, you shove the disc in, and then you turn on your handheld device, your PSP or your Vita. In this case, the Vita then stream downloads locally the game content. So you can play your game in your hands. Perfect. Especially for an M-rated game. That means Daddy can hide on the couch and still be with the family. Have headphones on. Or at least probably in one ear. And as long as I don't let anybody see the screen, I can still enjoy being with my family. That's why I don't own many M-rated games. I think God of War is like the only one I have from this generation of consoles. Because it's that hard for me to find. Oh, Heavy Rain. It's that hard for me to find time to play when somebody isn't awake. I mean, as you could probably hear in the background, there's a little newbie down here, wide awake, enjoying an evening snack. I can't escape. Now, we know now what we didn't know back when our first was a baby, is they're very perceptive, even as babies. Dads. Newbie dads who only have one kid out there. Put down your controller and leave the M-rated game for when the baby's asleep. When our oldest was, 18 months to 2 years, he started having night terrors. With hindsight being what it is, 2020, we're able to track that back to possibly us playing Buffy the Vampire Slayer on the original Xbox in front of him. Now, this is rated T, but it was an intense T. And we played it because we didn't know better. It was T. It should have been okay. Again, you can't trust the ratings totally. They're a good guidepost, but that's it. They're a guidepost. One of the Smash Brothers is rated T for crying out loud because we didn't have the E10 plus rating quite yet. But all that being said, remote play is a very tempting feature for picking up a Vita now because it means I can play some of my library in my hand. Makes it very tempting to pick up a Vita just for the remote play. Not to mention the cross play that we talked about a week or two ago, so I could say play PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, that is a mouthful, on the Vita or the PS3. Because when you buy one, you get the other. Finally, Final Fantasy 25th Anniversary Collection. Holy crap. So this is PS1 versions of Final Fantasy 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We have the PSP UMD disc. Who in the world still has a PSP? I do. Of Final Fantasy 3. Then it has the PS2 10 and 12. I didn't catch if it had 11 or not. 11 is the MMO. And then 13, I think, is in there as well. $450, I believe it was, or something like that. Makes me feel good. So my collection of all of the Final Fantasy games, minus 13, because I didn't pick up the DS version of that, around $450 with the guidebooks, mint condition. Cool. Never going to sell it, but it's nice to know that that's kind of what that collection's worth. In a ballpark figure way. Of course, then we have some negatives, like the fact that they wouldn't have the custom disc art or the neat box. So it probably equates down to less than that as far as my collection of the Final Fantasies go. But it's still pretty cool to have a concept, to have all of those games all together. I mean, I remember the Nintendo Power that gave me the Final Fantasy 1 strategy guide. That was all it was the Final Fantasy 1 strategy guide. Still have it. It's on the shelf right here, right back there. Lastly, some geekery news. GameStop is considering online vintage game store. So their goal, their thinking is when you think of GameStop, you'll think of games, you'll think of coming to them first for your games, instead of, say, Amazon, which has better prices. Yes, we are affiliated with Amazon ever so lightly. But cool, all the same. So if you're looking for that hard-to-find Battletoads versus Double Dragon for the Super Nintendo, GameStop might eventually be the place you go to look for it. I approve. N64 game cartridges, maybe too. Finally pick up Hybrid Heaven. I think that was the name of it. Awesome fighter slash RPG. Still have that cartridge. Haven't parted with it. Get a blister on your hand from spinning the N64 stick of the original Mario Party. Still have that too, but cartridges might be a way to pick them up. PAX is headed to Australia. That's awesome. They announced it at PAX Prime, the Seattle-based PAX conference, the Penny Arcade Expo. I'm glad that the folks down there are going to have something. But I'm a little jealous too, because we Midwesterners would absolutely love to have some kind of convention over here that, gets the big media coverage. Be really nice. Not going to happen, but it'd be really nice. And to wrap up this FlameFlash.net episode 69, I would like to offer a moment of silence to City of Heroes, who will be shuttering both their game and their business. I wish you all luck in your future endeavors. And for those of you who were huge fans of that game, may you find another MMO that fits your play styles just as much. But I'm Flame Flesh. This was episode 69, part 2. And I have some editing to do now to clip it all together eventually. Ah, one last piece. We're going to be moving FlameFlash.net podcast to a new night. It's not going to be on Wednesday night, so do not panic when it doesn't show up on a Wednesday, when I don't start recording on a Wednesday night on with the Twitter announcement and whatnot. We're probably going to be shifting to either Thursday or Friday. We're going to be a little up in the air with it right now, just because, well, we're having to shift when we do our grocery shopping from Thursday to Wednesday. Just scheduling conflicts and the like. So we'll see what the energy levels are like next week, whether it's Thursday or Friday normally. And we'll see you then for episode 70, probably on Thursday. Podcast at flameflesh.net. If you want to write in, or find me on Raptor, raptr.com/flameflesh. Have a good week.